Today's edition of Rising Higher is brought to you by Medicare Pro.
Hello, my name is Tamika Smith, and I am a licensed Medicare agent and community advocate with the Medicare Pro Insurance Agency. We are so excited to work with our San Antonio families. We educate our families on the differences between traditional Medicare, Medicare supplemental options, and Medicare Advantage plans. Because we are brokers, we do the shopping for you to determine which plan options best works for you and your family. We also evaluate our clients to determine if they can qualify for the $148.50 Part B reduction, which in turn will increase your Social Security check. And even if you don't qualify, there are many plans out there for 2022 with the Part B give back option when you enroll in that plan. And this includes our VA veterans and military families. Our community partners work with us to help provide caregiver services in the home and incontinence supplies at no cost to our clients. And the good thing about it is there is no cost or obligation for our services, and we would love for you to give us a call at 210-760-2379. We are your local agents, and we are excited and ready to work for you. Again, that number is 210-760-2379.
To live is Christ and to die is gain. If that isn't an all-out pursuit for God, then I don't know what else is. That my life is Christ. That my life is to pursue Christ. That everything I say and do is for Christ, and to die is gain, because then I get to truly experience Christ forever and eternal life. To live is Christ, to die is gain. I love what he says two chapters later as well. But for whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Meaning, it doesn't matter what I've gained. It doesn't matter what I've accomplished. I'm pursuing God. I'm pursuing Jesus. Now let me tell you something today. We're all pursuing something.
Welcome to Rising Higher, the radio ministry sponsored by 316 Church in San Antonio, Texas. We are located at 7760 Prue Road, between Babcock Road and Bandera Road. At 316 Church, our threefold mission is love, live, lead. We are called to love God and love people, live in Christ and for Christ, and lead our culture to Jesus. Check us out at 316.org. That is THREE16.org. Join us here on KDRY every Monday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. and Saturday mornings at 8:30 a.m. And now, here is your host for Rising Higher, Pastor Randy Garcia.
Well, I hope you had a fantastic weekend, and it's great to be back here as we start another week of programming. Last week, we started a new sermon series called One. And I love that because it brings everything into context, because sometimes we have the tendency to be scatterbrained. You know what I'm talking about? One minute we're thinking about this, another minute we're thinking about this other thing, and we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to do the other. Can we just really bring everything into focus and serve one God, one Lord, one Spirit? And that's what we're talking about here in this sermon series. Today, we're going to be looking at one life, and we're going to be going into Acts chapter number 4. Our Bible teacher is Randall Sean Garcia, and he serves as a lead pastor at 316 Church. And today, we're going to be talking about pursuit. What are you pursuing? You see, all of us are pursuing something. Maybe you don't realize it. Maybe we're pursuing rest and relaxation. Maybe we're pursuing the kingdom of God. Oh, that's a good one, okay? Maybe we're pursuing financial peace. What is it that you're pursuing? Let's kind of bring everything into context. Here's Pastor Randall Sean as we take some time to kind of put these things in order. Acts chapter 4 is where we're going to be reading from. One life.
And we're going to continue this series called One. And today we're going to read from Acts chapter 4. So if you want to open your Bibles, open your YouVersion Bible app, or follow along with the notes right in front of you. Today, I'm going to give you six things that I believe every believer needs to do. How many of you believe that there are many things that we need to do? And I think today we're going to get to the core disciplines, the core things that every believer needs to do to have holistic, is what I call it, holistic discipleship. I want you to live a life to the fullest. So today's sermon title is called One Life. Somebody say One Life. Somebody say YOLO. I almost named it YOLO. You only live once. I decided to do One Life. You have one life to live. How are you living it out? I want you to live a life to the fullest. I want you to live a life worth living. I want you to live a life that leaves a kingdom legacy. So today we're going to dive into six things that I believe every believer needs to do. And the reason why you need to do it is because the world needs you. Can you believe it? The world needs you, which is, by the way, why Jesus called you. The world needs you to be a light in this dark world. You see, the world needs you to stand up and to stand out from culture. You see, the world needs you to bring Jesus, the message of hope, to people who are broken. The world needs you. Your coworkers, your family, your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren need you. That's a great challenge, because this world is a pretty confusing place to live in, isn't it? I mean, I can only imagine if I was a teenager growing up in this time, how much confusion would I see with a young mind? How much division would I see with a young mind? And here's the truth of the matter. When so many people are searching for truth because things are confusing, we are called to bring the truth to the world. We are called to proclaim the truth of God. And so we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to kind of give you this story about Peter and John in Acts chapter 4. Before I start reading, see what's happening here in this text is Peter and John had been doing some miraculous things through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Peter and John actually healed a crippled man right before this. In chapter 3, they healed a crippled man through the power of Jesus. And then people started questioning them. People started coming at them, saying, "What is going on? Who are you? And is this like an evil spirit? Where do you get this power?" And so they started questioning Peter and John. And so you get context. They're about to enter a little bit of a conflict. And you're going to see exactly how they respond here. And I'm going to read it to you. It says this: "And as they were speaking to the people," Peter and John, "as they were speaking, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those..." Look at this, verse number 4. "But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. And so on the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired," they're questioning this, "by what power or by what name did you do this?" Speaking about healing the crippled man. "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, Here's the key. Filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And verse 13 is where we're going to be hanging out. This is what it says. Now when they saw the boldness, somebody say boldness. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. Somebody say astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. We're going to hang out here in Acts chapter 4.
You see, sometimes you just need to come back to the basics. And here in Acts chapter 4, we kind of look at that and see what God has for us. And I think we can apply it today. Thank you so much for tuning in. One life is what we're talking about here today on today's edition of Rising Hour. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. Thank you so much for tuning in today. You are listening to Rising Higher, brought to you by 316 Church. We're located in the northwest part of San Antonio at 7760 Prue Road, P-R-U-E. That's between Babcock and Bandera Road. If you're looking for a home church, come on by and join us. Every Sunday, we at 316 Church gather together for worship at 10:30 a.m. We also have Spanish worship at 11 o'clock in our multi-purpose center. Feel free to check us out on the web at 316.org. That's T-H-R-E-E-1-6.org. One life. That's what we're talking about, Acts chapter 4. We'll be right back. Thank you for tuning in to Rising Higher.
Hey, this is Phil Wickham. I believe that with God, all things are possible, even freedom from addiction.
Almost every year, I would be in a new school because of my father's violent temper. He would get fired all the time. That caused me to fear everything, and I've lived that fear my whole life, basically. But with drinking and drugs, I could hide those fears. And the drugs were so effective to me, I knew I would die if I kept doing them. But once I was at Teen Challenge, God showed me that I was his child, and with him behind me and taking care of me, I didn't have to fear anyone or anything.
Here in San Antonio, we are blessed to have both a men's adult and teen challenge campus and a women's adult and teen challenge campus. For adults ages 18 to 50, here's the number to call, 210-624-2075. Do you have a teenager who is dealing with self-destructive or dangerous behaviors? New Hope Christian Academy for Boys and Thrive Girls Ranch have campuses in the greater Austin area. Perhaps you would like to do what my wife and I do. We sponsor a teen challenge student. For only $35 per month, you can get a photo and a profile of your student and an invitation to their graduation. Here's a number to call, 1-866-913-4181, or log on to teenchallengetx.org. Rising Higher brings you the sounds of Christmas, meaning behind the Christmas carols. Angels we have heard on high.
Angels we have heard on high. Sweetly singing o'er the plain. Thank you.
Although little is known of its origins, this inspiring 18th century French Christmas carol has become a universal favorite. Oh, we do not know who wrote it, but we do know the powerful meaning. Could you picture the angels drifting slightly downward toward the shepherds and saying to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Instantly surrounding the angel was a brilliant heavenly host, and echoing through the sky was the most beautiful singing that the shepherds had ever heard, exalting and praising God for the long-awaited gift of his son. The shepherds made haste to see the Savior with their own eyes. The Bible teaches that angels are ministering servants of God and that they are continually being sent to help and protect us all the time. Oh, would you join the heavenly host as Luke 2:14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
Three letters, starts with C, bovine.
Cow.
Oh, yeah, that fits.
You know, Bob, there's something missing in my life. I don't know what it is. I have everything I need, but yet there's something missing.
Mm-hmm. How about five letters, starts with J, Savior of the world?
Jesus.
Thanks.
I feel so helpless. There's no one to talk to who has the answers. I just wish there was a way I could reach out to someone who could help.
Six letters, starts with P and ends with R, petitioning God.
Prayer. I don't know. Maybe there's some place I could go to, people I could talk to.
Ends with H, place of worship?
That's easy. Church.
Oh, right.
It just isn't fair. We should have been given a manual or something that has the answers.
Holy book. Starts with B?
Bible. Come on, man. Think.
Oh, yeah. It's so obvious. You sure know the answers.
Maybe the answers you've heard time and time again are the answers you need to use.
A simple reminder brought to you by 316 Church in San Antonio. Check us out on the web at 316.org. That's THREE16.org. You got pain. He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, he's a chain breaker. This is Zach Williams, and I just want to encourage you guys that no matter what you're going through in your life, no matter where you feel like you are, God is always with us, and he is the ultimate chain breaker. And you're listening to Rising Higher on KDRIVE. I do want to thank you so much for tuning in today to Rising High. We're going to get back into our Bible teaching. Our Bible teacher is Randall Sean Garcia, and he serves as a lead pastor at 316 Church. We're talking about some lessons we can learn from Acts chapter 4. And really what it comes down to is we all are pursuing something in life. What is it that's your priority? And I do believe the life that we live should be dedicated to the Lord God Almighty. I believe so. Would you be in agreement? Okay, let's do that. Okay, here's the next portion of this message, One Life.
I mean, I'm a learner, so I'm always learning about things. But one of the things I've been learning since January 2021, it's kind of a pivotal moment for me, because for me, that is the time where I was introduced to a lot of new Gen Z terminology. Why? Because that was when Pastor Jacob came on staff. And so in January, I began hanging out with Pastor Jacob, and I take him to lunch every week, and on campus and the offices, we're doing projects, brainstorming, doing all these things. And you know, it's interesting, and you might know this, you know, whether you're baby boomer, Gen X, millennial, or Gen Z, or anywhere in between, You know that every generation like has their own way of saying things, right? They have their own terminology, their own words. So like for me, if I like something, I usually say, that's cool, right? But when Jacob likes something, he says, that's fire. And so one day I came home and Selena was asking me if I liked something. And instead of saying, that's cool, I said, that's fire. And then she goes, have you been hanging out with Pastor Jacob? And then I'll never forget another time I came home and we're talking about something and, you know, it wasn't so serious, but there was like something that we're trying to resolve. And Selena asked me what I thought. And I said, you know what? It's okay. I have confidence. And she goes, you've been hanging out with your dad. I said, yeah, I have actually, because I have confidence. The interesting thing about this is, you know, because of what I said in these situations, Selena recognized who I was with. Because of what I said, Selena recognized who I had been with. Acts chapter 4:13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, when they saw that boldness and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. What's that next sentence right there? And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. You see, because of their boldness, because of their faith, because of their words, the high priest and Sadducees recognized that Peter and John had been with somebody special. They recognized that there was power in a relationship that they had. And so when they came with boldness, saying there is no other way to salvation. You see that crippled man? There is no other name that can heal like the name of Jesus. These men says there's something about this. We recognize who these men have been with. And in that time, if you can imagine, you know, when Jesus was on earth, all of these miracles and all of these stories and all of these people proclaiming the name of Jesus. This is what Jesus had done for me. This is what Jesus has healed me from. This is what Jesus has taught me. And in that culture, you would recognize who has encountered Jesus. And so these men, they knew because of this boldness, Peter and John had been with Jesus. And so here's my question for you today. Who around you can look at you and recognize that you've been with Jesus? When you're at work and you speak and you respond in the midst of conflict, when you're at work and you're at lunch and you're joking around with the guys or the ladies, when you're talking to your family and in the heat of the moment, do you say something or do you allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide your words? Do your family, do your friends, do your coworkers, do your neighbors, when they look at you, do they see someone who's been with Jesus? Is that what they see? You see, when it's all said and done in my life, I may not be perfect. I make mistakes. But at the end of my life, I want people to look at me and say, that man has been with Jesus. He's encountered Jesus. And I want to concentrate on this word bold. This word boldly. They boldly shared their faith. And that's number one in your notes. I want you to know these are the six things. This is number one of six of the six things that I believe that every believer must do. And I'm going to go through them rather quickly. So I want you to write them down in your notes. Number one is I want you to boldly share your faith. Boldly share your faith. I want to learn how to boldly share my faith. That because of my boldness, people won't just recognize that I'm a part of some religion. People won't recognize that I'm just a part of some church or some congregation. No. There's something so much more powerful than that. I want people to recognize that I've been with Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's what I want people to say. Not, your church is great. Okay, that's good and all. That Bible study is great. Hey, that's good and all. All of those things are good. But I want to be the one to boldly share my faith so people know that I am with the one and only Messiah, Son of God, where there is no other way to salvation through. I want you to learn how to boldly share your faith. Number two, I want you to passionately pursue God. I want you to passionately pursue God. I'm reminded of Paul. Paul wrote almost half of the New Testament, and I love what he wrote in Philippians 1. He says, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To live is Christ and to die is gain. If that isn't an all-out pursuit for God, then I don't know what else is. That my life is Christ. That my life is to pursue Christ. That everything I say and do is for Christ. And to die is gain because then I get to truly experience Christ forever and eternal life. To live is Christ. To die is gain. I love what he says two chapters later as well. "But for whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Meaning, it doesn't matter what I've gained. It doesn't matter what I've accomplished. I'm pursuing God. I'm pursuing Jesus. Now, let me tell you something today. We're all pursuing something. We're all pursuing something. Question is, what are you pursuing? What are you pursuing? Question, what does your faith look like today? How relentless are you in your pursuit of Jesus Christ?
How relentless are you in your pursuit of Jesus Christ? That's a tough question, but I do believe we can come up with the right answer. That is if we're living the right way, okay? Well, we're just getting started here in this message called One Life. Our Bible teacher is Randall Sean Garcia, and he serves as a lead pastor at 316 Church. And we are running out of time. That's the bad news, but the good news is we're going to continue this message tomorrow on the Tuesday edition of Rising Hour. Hopefully you can join us tomorrow. We're looking at Acts chapter 4, learning lessons on how we can get our bearings straight in living one life to please one God, one Lord. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in to Rising Higher. We are brought to you by 316 Church. Feel free to check us out on the web at 316.org. That's C-H-R-E-E-1-6.org. Join us tomorrow at 5:30 as we continue this message, One Life.